What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Thank you, Kevin, for clapping for it. You know what was good? Thanksgiving break. Thank you so much for coming to the Portillo's meet and greet with me.
It was my pleasure. Did you get a chance to see Cody's What's Good, Greg shirt?
Of course I did. And then on Instagram, so he's got a shirt he made himself, says what's good, Greg. But it's got the Andrea Renee, throw him up in the chat right now if you're watching live. Andrea Renee with the coffee cup, not impressed one bit. By the time he got to me, I was like, oh my God, I need a photo of this. And then he goes, Andrea already took it and already tweeted it. And I was like, it's covered then. So I retweeted that. I thought it was great. The shirt's amazing. Then on Instagram, he put up the photos of the shirt and he put you first and then me. And he said, because this is more about not the shirt, about us being together or the taking the photos. He's like, sorry, Greg, had to put her first. She tweeted it first. And I'm like, well, that's just unfair because I didn't even get the chance to tweet.
You were very busy at the time.
He killed my tweet in the crib. You know what I mean? Like, I would have tweeted. It would have been a big thing, but you know, it was an amazing shirt. Good job, Cody. And Andrea, good job shirt on this too.
Oh, thank you.
This is a crazy one. This is like a weird, crazy one.
It's because it's the cutout. Like, it feels lewd, but it's really not. It's like, you think you've seen something, but you're not.
Yeah, those are my favorite kind of shirts.
When John saw me this morning, he was like, that's a weird shirt. And I'm like, yeah, I've worn this shirt before.
Yeah. Well, John and I, just, you know, some boys from the suburbs of Chicago. We're not used to this. It's sweaters and giant parkas over there. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us record the show live. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. The Kind of Funny Games Showcase is 1 week from Saturday. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're out and about, follow @kindoffunnyvids on Twitter for all the video assets, or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I will now accept things from the Peanut Gallery, kindoffunny.com, Kevin Coelho. What did you have to say?
Oh, no, I went, oh, my God, it's so close.
It is very close. It's extremely close. We have to film all that live action stuff this weekend now that San Francisco is no longer on fire.
Wait, 1 week from Saturday. Don't you mean 2 weeks from Saturday?
I wish that was true, but no, it's the 8th. It's December 1st.
You're right. Saturday is December 1st. Game Awards are next week.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, that is correct.
This month has, I feel like this whole year is just kind of by in a blink.
It has flown by. And the showcase is upon us. I have a twitching eye right now to show you all the stress level I have and everything else that's happening with it. Very exciting stuff happening. Tweeted at Yakuza and Sega today. They say they're on board. We'll see what they got. Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. We're brought to you today by 23andMe, Hims, and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. First, let's unbox something. It's different today. Hey, we got a PlayStation. Yay. Mini here. And there, Cool Greg's bringing it in. It's a hashtag provided by PlayStation. Remember, when we do unboxings of PlayStation stuff or talk about PlayStation products, they send them to us for free, of course, like everybody does. But for some reason, PlayStation's lawyers have said, if that happens as influencers, you're not press, you're influencers, someone needs to put up a lower third. We didn't have the lower third ready, so Cool Greg made one out of cardboard. Hashtag provided by PlayStation. Andrea,
yes.
It's the PlayStation Classic. It has 20 of the best titles from the game-changing era, including Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, R4, Ridge Racer Type 4, Jumping Flash, Wild Arms, and more. It's $100, available December 3rd. We've had it on that table forever. We have not been able to do anything with it because today was the embargo day, so we haven't even unboxed. I've never opened it, Andrea. Have you opened one yet?
I have not, but maybe I'll take a photo of you unboxing
it. I'm putting my eyes wide. I bet it's going to look like a PlayStation, but smaller.
I have a feeling you might be correct
look
about
at it.
That.
It's all adorable.
Right, it is actually very mini.
Kevin, look at how small it is compared to my head.
So it would easily, for people listening, it would easily fit
so
inside
small.
Greg's face.
It would easily fit inside my face. So if you want, I can try to do that.
I'm putting my iPhone XS Max on top of it.
Your iPhone XS Max
is almost bigger
it's
than
definitely wider.
The PlayStation
also,
Classic.
There's John and your cats.
That's John and my guest.
Let's see if you flip the other side. You can see the iPhone sticking out on the sides. Kind of. I can move my fat
my
fingers.
iPhone XS Max is longer than the PlayStation Classic.
Right. Yeah. This thing feels like it weighs nothing. Of course. Lucky.
Does that feel like $100 in your hand?
No. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, Andrew, it certainly does not. Kevin, give me that shot too.
You would think they would maybe just put...
It's so cute.
It's really
cute.
Little,
it is really
yeah.
cute.
And you think they'd like put some weight in it just to make it feel
just
less
to make sure
onesie.
You feel like you're not getting the Raspberry Pi thing that everybody's freaking out about. All right, does this do anything for you? You buying a classic? Are you interested in a classic? You bought the SNES and all that jazz,
yeah,
right?
I was over the moon for the two Nintendo classics because yeah. those were part of my childhood.
Yeah.
I skipped this console.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Yeah.
Not like intentionally. I just...
Not like you weren't making a statement.
It was just at a time of my life where I was still busy with my N64.
Oof. There you go. You got one
okay,
of these.
Okay, so...
It's so weird to hold
these do feel really flimsy.
Well, I mean, that's just an old school PlayStation controller when there was nothing inside.
The controller, you guys can take a look here.
Bring it back towards your face. That's where the focus is. Oh. There you go. See? Yeah.
There
bring
we
it
go.
Back to your lewd shirt that's not lewd.
Yeah, it looks good. It's always so amazing to me how the DualShocks all look like strikingly similar.
Oh, that they've just kept that. I mean, you're not technically not a DualShock. I don't want the comments, and
yes,
I don't want to you're
course.
Wrong and all that jazz. It doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Man, it feels so weird to hold an original PlayStation controller.
It's very
controller
light.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing. I mean, you figure back in the day, there's nothing in it.
That's true.
There's no rumble. There's
yeah.
no sticks.
Yeah.
No dual analog. Just
no,
buttons here.
No gyroscope.
God. The PlayStation 1, everybody. I mean, the classic is out December 3rd. $100. Here it is. You might say, Greg, you're a big Metal Gear fan. I'm sure you're going to play Metal Gear again. I won't. I've played Metal Gear, but old game is old. I will tell you this, though. If you are a fan of game shit, a whole lot of game shit with Cool Greg. Cool Greg has already requested to play the PlayStation Classic on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can look for it there with Cool Greg playing all sorts of stuff. Cool Greg, is the shock mic up, Kev?
No.
Cool Greg, while the shock mic comes up, which one of these games are you excited to play? Siphon Filter? Metal Gear?
No, a lot of them are my first time playing them.
Oh.
I did see there was Metal Gear, which these guys love, and then there's the original GTA, right?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto is on
that. So I was going to check that one out.
Yeah, you got Battle Arena.
Slow games, so yeah. I'm thinking this might be up my alley.
Yeah, this is a good place to start you. You know what I mean? Seeing as how we can't get you to play anything on a whole lot of game shit except Simpsons Hit and Run, I think giving you
a
PlayStation
a classic,
1 classic.
Bro,
it's
classic.
Fine. There's a lot of good... I mean, you know, this is the thing. Jared Petty, of course, furious at this list of games here. Thanks, Kev. Furious at this list of games. I still see a lot of stuff on here I love.
The
Siphon
tough
filter?
Part about these classic consoles,
yeah,
is that there's just the libraries are so iconic, and there are so many great games that
and
it's
and
hard
it means
to curate it down. Yeah.
It means, you know, I mean, PlayStation 1 means something to everybody, or something different to everybody is what I'm trying to say. I was missing a word there that's very important, but yeah, I would play Siphon Filter. I mean, when I say I would play, I mean I'm excited for these games, but I would
but
never play them again.
You're not actually going to play
Siphon
this.
Filter, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona. That'd be insane to play. Grand Theft Auto, Final Fantasy 7, of course. Twisted Metal is a Cool Greg point. Cool Greg, you're gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Are you doing it tonight?
I might. I was thinking about it.
All right, cool. There you go. A whole lot of game shit with Cool Greg for playing the PlayStation Classic. Of course, hashtag provided by PlayStation. Yeah, we're throwing on the ground now. Now we're done talking about it, so we have to say it anymore, I think. I don't know. We put up the lower third, though. Nobody can get mad. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I'm going to hand number one off to Andrea Renee, which means, of course, it is Destiny 2 related. I don't know what's happening. Andrea, take it away.
Greg, Bungie has outlined the next year of Destiny 2 content. So there were quite a few different write-ups about this, but I chose the one from Polygon. The next year of Destiny 2 content has been revealed in the form of two schedules from the game's developer, Bungie. From December 4th, 2018 to sometime in August of 2019, Destiny 2 players will have something to do about every week, from new raids to seasonal events to increased power levels. The calendars are split up into content for all Destiny 2 players, and those that buy the game's annual pass, which costs $35 for three mini expansions, Black Armory, Joker's Wild, and Penumbra.
Joker's Wild.
All players will gain access to the holidays and the usual rank resets. Items like pinnacle weapons are for everyone. However, each season will also offer annual pass players larger content drops. This seems to be slightly different with each release, with each mini expansion offering new exotics and weapons for Destiny 2's most dedicated fan base. According to Bungie, the goal is to turn Destiny 2 into a true live game experience, one that changes week to week as seasons advance. While the annual pass isn't needed to experience some of those Destiny moments, seemingly all of the truly new content will be unlocked beyond the annual pass price tag.
Beyond.
Here's a look at the next 9 months of Destiny 2. So they released this Image, which is a Destiny 2 Forsaken gameplay calendar. It says free seasons and the annual pass. We've got Season of the Forge, which is just happening now. And then upcoming Season of the Drifter, and then Season of the Question.
Redacted.
Question mark?
Big old white line across some words there.
Which is going to happen next summer.
But the guy in the image looks like Daft Punk, I think. I don't know what Daft Punk looks like.
Well, Daft Punk has more of a traditional like motorcycle type helmet with single. Oh.
Then this guy looks
more Cyclops from X-Men.
Oh, okay, fair.
Yeah, I don't know what this. I haven't gone into the Reddit to check on everybody analyzing all
sure,
of the images.
Sure, this was just breaking right as we went live, right?
Correct.
Because you were in your Discord. What's Good Guardians, correct?
Well, I was in my clan chat, and I was trying to get the Discord pulled up. So, just a little bit more details here. For Black Armory, which launches for the annual pass holders on December 4th, players have a far more detailed schedule. Starting the week of launch, players will be able to tackle the first of four forges being offered in the Black Armory, a wave-based activity where players defend a forge as it builds their fire team a new weapon. Over the next month, the other forges will steadily unlock. The Dawning event is returning, and as well as a new raid called Scourge of the Past. And later during the season, the Black Armory players will embark on a new quest to reclaim a weapon once lost to them. Looks to be the infamous Last Word hand cannon from original Destiny. The season will, of course, end with Valentine's Day in Crimson Days in February, with March starting the cycle all over again with the Season of the Drifter and Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild.
So they also uploaded a very long vid doc to their social channels this morning that really details this a lot more and talks about their goals and what they're trying to do with Destiny as a game, really transitioning it from DLC and expansions into rolling seasons of content.
Yeah, this seems a lot different, but also very enticing, right? This is super exciting of like, hey, there's something happening all the time and why you'd want to be turning it on and going.
Before I get into my thoughts, I asked some of the What's Good Guardian clan members, because they have obviously been playing week to week, whereas I've had to divert my attention to some of the other releases that came out this fall. Suzu Dib says, super excited for everything. They're loading us up with activities and matchmaking. Horde mode, yes. Plus all new gear, exotics, raids. I'm so happy. Renjamin says, Forsaken was amazing, and this is basically extending that attention to endgame campaign lore while continuing to boost power and give us a ton of things to work on. I'm sold. And Solid Snake Ocelot says, it may be enough if they can keep the trickle of content going throughout the year, which it sounds like they will. Huh. So overall, first impressions from just a few of my clanmates seems like they're all really pumped about this. And so they're clearly the hardcore Destiny audience that Bungie has been catering to. The thing that kind of strikes me about this that I'm a little confused about is why Bungie, while they so clearly are trying to transition into a live service game that caters to their hardcore players, is still holding on to this idea that they also need to cater to people who have never played Destiny before.
I'm trying to bring people in, right? Trying to keep people around. You asked me when I got here today. When are we getting back? When are you going to get back into Destiny 2? And I'm terrified. There's way too much content. I don't know what's going on over there.
No, I don't feel like I know what's going on. And I've played a bunch of the Forsaken content. I think what's interesting about it is going to be how difficult it would be if you were like, yes, let's try it.
Let's jump back
and
in.
And you were to jump in not having done any of the Forsaken content yet, like how quickly we would be able to catch you up by kind of helping you cheese through some of the more tedious grinding that you would not have to do as alone, I guess. So it's hard for me to like kind of figure out where I stand on this. Obviously, it's great that they're offering more and more content, because that was a very prominent criticism of what Bungie was doing with Destiny 2 previously, and really more so with Destiny, that there was just these large gaps of content between expansions. And now it really feels like there's something to strive for, not only daily and weekly, but the seasonal stuff as well. Well,
seasonal events are such a cool idea to get people in, to get them going, right?
There's a
deadline. Can you achieve this thing? Can you get in there and do it? And I know other games have done it beforehand, but I think for the majority of people, like for me, for example, right? Like really having something like Fortnite in their seasons come around, right? And be like, oh, I get it. I understand now what a live, you know, service game is and how that'll look when this change is over. And that even though they're changing things enough that every season feels new, the game feels new, even though it's the same game I've been playing.
Fortnite, though, again, free to play.
Sure.
Destiny 2, not free to play. And I think people in the community really come back to the idea that we sometimes forget that it's not cheap to be a Destiny 2 fan and to buy all of these different iterations from the base game to the expansions and now the season pass. And if you're getting into the microtransactions of buying silver for some of the custom cosmetic stuff that you can get from Eververse, that dollar amount starts to stack. And so I look at this going, I like where they're going. When does Destiny 2 become free to play permanently?
Oh, interesting.
Right. Is that in the cards? Yeah. Well, if Activision truly wants to have this game continue for 10 years after they've publicly said we were disappointed with how Destiny has been doing, then I think they need to move there sooner than later.
Wow.
If they want to sell upgrades through seasons, right? If they want to do seasonal stuff like this, I think that's great. Have seasons. Give players something to look forward to. Look at how wildly successful, as you mentioned, it has been for Fortnite.
Sure.
And other franchises are taking note as well. So what is the harm in giving that base content free for everybody? I don't think that they have anything to lose.
That's fascinating. That'd be a really cool thing to see. And I think that would actually, especially as you build this library of paid content and expansions, you figure that's such a great gateway drug, right? Get them in, get them invested. You love your character. You want to do more. There's all this stuff. Go to the shopping center and pick up whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are you at? Are you playing Destiny at least once a week? Are you in there every other night?
I haven't been playing it as regularly as I would like. As I've mentioned, both on this show and on What's Good, there's just so many games that are on my docket to finish. Sure. And then once I am able to finish them, I can go back to playing Destiny on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
It just was really unfortunate that all the Forsaken content launched right amid Spider-Man, Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed,
Red Dead.
And, you know, now I have, like, I want to check out Battlefield. I want to check out Hitman.
Red Dead Online launching today.
Red Dead Online is now live, you know, and I still want to spend a little bit of time in Fallout, even though I feel like I can probably push that to next year until they fix some stuff, which we're going to talk about in the next story.
I was going
to
say, it's telling of where we are in the industry that there's five items on the Roper Report. Four of them are about games that are services.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. But I'm excited to get back. I tweeted that the siren call is strong. I definitely am missing my my Destiny crew, so I'm ready to go back.
You're ready to run back to him?
I'm ready.
Get back in your spaceship. Number two is about Fallout 76 patches. This is via Reddit, where Bethesda Broke Their Silence popped up. Reading from their post over on the Fallout 76 subreddit, they talk about on December 4th, 2018. Next week's update will bring an increase to the stash limit, as well as a variety of performance and stability improvements, balance changes, and multiple bug fixes to the game. We'll have a full patch notes available later this week ahead of Tuesday's update. Some notable issues being addressed in this update include stash limit increased. We know many of you have been asking for an adjustment to the stash storage limit, and we're happy to share that we're increasing it from 400 to 600. While this is somewhat conservative, we plan to increase the storage cap further once we verify this change will not negatively impact the stability of the game. Boss loot. Players should correctly, and there's sirens on our end, receive 2 to 3 items after taking down a boss, depending on the creature's difficulty and level. It goes on into cryolator effects, respawning while over-encumbered, and then being stuck in your power armor. We've addressed an issue in this patch that could cause players to become stuck inside power armor.
That sounds terrifying.
We're also aware there's some additional case. You're in your sarcophagus. You can't get out because you don't have a power core. Then there's a December 11th patch, 2018. The next update after December 4th is currently planned for the following week. Like previous patches, it will include a variety of bug fixes, but we're also planning to make some notable changes and features to the game. The preview includes PC additions such as push-to-talk settings, special respect after level 50. You'll be able to choose between a new perk card or moving a special point you had previously allocated. There will also be a camp placement on login, which basically means if somebody already put something in your camp, then you'll be able to move yours somewhere else. And then interesting, as somebody who plays Fallout 76, Bulldoze, this is a new camp feature that will allow you to remove small trees, rocks, and other obstructions, so it's easier to create and place your camp when and where you want it. You can also use the Bulldozer to clear these items from the surrounding area and make your camp feel more like home. Which is cool, because as I move my camp around, it sucks to be like, this is a good spot. Ah, there's this stupid little thing in the way. It's a house. Just the house would crush the rock. Who cares?
Just like my horse in Red Dead would crush that tent, but it seems to make
you're
me
dead.
Fall off
yeah,
my
Yeah, you're screwed. And the horse is dead and you're dead. Obviously, good fixes coming to Fallout 76. That seems like something is needed. Good. Bethesda talking to their most dedicated audience on the Fallout 76 subreddit. That's all great. Constantine from Toronto writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, on yesterday's show, a listener wrote in asking if Fallout 76 should be re-reviewed once a patch/update is released, but I couldn't help but think. Is it even possible to fix Fallout 76? I've seen comments hoping for/expecting an update like No Man's Sky and Destiny 2, but I don't see that as a fair comparison. Destiny received complaints about a lack of content, but the gameplay was, as always, tight and responsive. Post-release content has mostly satisfied fans, and the game seems to be in a good place. Hello Games added a ton of new features and content to No Man's Sky based on what fans wanted, but at launch, the game wasn't totally broken and unplayable like Fallout 76 appears to be. Parentheses, full disclosure, I haven't played either, but listening to the show keeps me in the loop, correct me if I'm wrong. We'll get to that. Sure, Bethesda could add more content, but that won't change the myriad of technical issues the game is facing that stem from a fundamentally broken game engine. Bethesda has largely been given a pass for their buggy games, but the engine looks completely incapable of handling a multiplayer game. Save a complete engine overhaul, I really don't think it's possible to bring Fallout 76 to even a AA level. For the sake of fans, I hope Bethesda will fix what they can, but the game really seems dead on arrival. What do you think Bethesda can do to turn this game around? Can they do anything?
Yes, they can. They can give it to ZeniMax Online.
Oh, that's what you're playing? The Elder Scrolls people?
Yeah. So that team went through a lot of work over several years to get Elder Scrolls Online to where it is today, which has a really robust community. Obviously, it's not the largest community in online games, but they have a really dedicated fan base that comes back, you know, week after week to play.
Yeah.
And they didn't get there overnight. You know, they've been iterating and iterating on that game, and they could clearly lend some knowledge to Bethesda Game Studios because they're like, yo, we're over here. We run an MMO. Let us help you.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure, you know, how Bethesda is handling that and what members from ZeniMax Online are working with Bethesda Game Studios, if any. I would hope that they would be sharing knowledge being, you know, part of the same publisher umbrella, but who could say?
Constantine, you bring up two things here. I couldn't help but think, is it even possible to fix Fallout 76? My answer, Greg Miller, is yes. Yes, you can fix Fallout 76. I think if you look through the majority of reviews you're seeing, there's something people like there for the most part. It is that it's broken. Okay, they're saying the world's empty. They miss full-blown NPCs rather than just robots and other players. But in general, I've seen most, and I go back to the US Gamer review that I think echoed a lot of what I had thought while playing it, even because it's nice to play the game and not have to worry about reviewing it and putting a score on it, right? Yeah, there's plenty to fix here, but there is something to it that draws you back into it. I think right now the biggest problem affecting Fallout 76 is the game crashing bugs, is the, you know, characters in T-pose or when you walk into a room and that they're not doing that. Again, this is the thing that it all ranges, and I'm not at all a Fallout 76 expert. I'm not at all. I'm level 12 or 13 now after playing last night. I'm still not seeing a large majority of the bugs and crashes people are seeing, and it seems like they're playing on PC. It seems like the reviews I read where people, like even the US Gamer review was like, I'm running on a pretty decent PC, but I'm seeing all this. I'm not saying this is not Greg doing the character of PlayStation 4's, you know, end all be all consoles amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm just not seeing those issues. Thank you, Kevin, but it is. So to your point, Constantine, of like it appears to be unplayable, like, or like Fallout 76 appears to be unplayable and broken. It's definitely broken in a lot of places. It's not, it's far from unplayable. It is still this game that I enjoy playing because it is, man, I want to make my campsite better. Man, I just want to level up. I want to get this new perk card. Like I said to Jared yesterday, the big question today is, well, will Red Dead do all that way better in terms of leveling up when I get home today? You know, last night I played Fallout 76 for an hour and a half again. Grimecraft wasn't online, and I didn't want to put out a blanket thing. And I was like, you know what? I want to go back to Assassin's Creed and keep working on the Platinum. Went back there and played that for 5 hours, right? Like, that is the trade-off. There's tons of games doing things that, you know, and that was the funny thing of going from Fallout 76 to Assassin's Creed, which I think is just such an amazing game, right? Like, Assassin's Creed just, even though very different games, outclassing Fallout 76 and everything it's trying to do, whether it is story, leveling, power fantasies, stuff to that effect, right?
Right.
But is it possible to fix Fallout 76? Yes. Is it possible for Fallout 76 to succeed? Yes, but that's the really big question, I feel. I think that, yes, like you're saying, boot 76 to a couple next year for a big patch, right? And wait to see. But then it is the question of how does Bethesda and now the brand of Fallout 76 come back from this? And now I need to be, you know, upfront and clear that I was so wrong about No Man's Sky. When No Man's Sky came out, and again, a game I enjoyed, Kevin enjoyed, but you know, so many people had wrong expectations for it and really flogged that game for it. I remember being like, man, Hello Games is going to have to change their name. Sean Murray's never going to be able to come on a stage again. Like, this is bad. You know what I mean? But they put their head down and they came around and they fixed the game and they came out and were humble about it and like really delivered a product people wanted. Bethesda is Bethesda. You like you have to like for me it's like you talk about the ripple effect of this, like do they do an E3 press conference next year, and if so, are people still livid at them for this? Is it like, do people take them seriously with what they say? Like how does it all work out?
I think people will forget about this because we have so much faith in Bethesda as a publisher, and more importantly in Todd Howard as a leader of that studio.
Yeah.
Knowing that what's coming down the pipeline is, you know, Starfield and then Elder Scrolls.
Sure.
They can easily kind of shelve the Fallout brand for a while, put it on the back burner. Not unlike how ZeniMax was with Elder Scrolls Online when it first launched, right? Got kind of quiet, worked on it, and then really brought it back in a big way with these new expansions.
Yeah.
Once they had their feet under them, and now they're successful with that online game. They could do the same thing with Fallout and just be like, hey, you know what? We're not going to focus on this because the next Fallout 5 is clearly like years away. Right? A long time in the distance. So I think they easily are going to be able to bounce back from this. I think the reason why people are so angry is because our expectations were high,
sure,
knowing that it was a Bethesda Game Studios game. Yeah. Being like, they haven't really, you know, screwed up this bad before. And I think that they can fix it. They certainly have the resources to. And it's just about, you know, like, what are they going to fix first? I think there's no debate that they were potentially overly ambitious, saying it's going to be four times the size of Fallout 4. It's like, why did it need to be? Fallout 4 was giant as it is.
Yeah.
And I think that the weight of their ambition is now clearly crumbling underneath them.
Right. Yeah. They're struggling to lift that. Right. And that's the thing, is if you can get the technical side of it under wraps, fix that to where I'm not having this weird friend thing where I can't invite teammates and they can't join me. Mm. And we're like, what's going on? If you fix it so people can play the experience, then I think you're in a different spot. And then it is the moment to moment. Like, you know, I'm playing it as mainly a lone wanderer. Occasionally I run into friends and we talk and hang out and go do stuff. Grimecraft shows me stuff. But so the way I'm playing it, as I assume a lot of Fallout people are playing, and as big as the map is, I'm running around and then I run into like, this event has started. Like, you know, the announcement that the power plant needs all this stuff done to it. And I look at it and I'm like, well, it's just me. And I don't feel like pinging out. I'm going to keep doing the mission I'm on. See you later. And I just run away. Like, the events aren't working in the same way a Destiny event that pops where I'm already running off and I see other people shooting something. I'm like, oh, I'm going to jump and do it.
But even now with Destiny 2 public events, if you're on a planet doing like a side mission that is not part of the gameplay loop for that week, there's been many times when I've done public events or attempted to do public events by myself.
Sure.
Or I've just, like you have said, skipped them altogether because I was like, hey, I'm here to just farm a specific resource. Yeah. Or I'm here doing like a side thing for another part of a quest line for like an exotic or something and nobody else is there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm good. You know, that happens.
It totally happens.
But shouldn't happen at launch though.
And that's my biggest
the
point.
Difference.
You have this world that's giant. There's 12 people in the map or whatever. I have yet to be running around. And I know I'm level 13, so it's not that much time invested, right? And hours played. I have yet to be running around and see other people engaging in an event and me be like, no, I'm going to go help out. Like I did that in Destiny a lot where I was like, oh, people are over there. I'll join in. I'll do this. And it's launch week. We're all kind of in the same place, but we're all doing our own thing and worrying about our own stuff and going off to farm wood scraps so I can make a better house. You know, and it's like, that's cool. And I'm enjoying that part of the game. But then there's all these MMO games as service things that aren't working, I think, the way they intended them to.
Right.
We'll see. Speaking of Fallout 76, there might be a lawsuit. Number 3 on the Roper Report. This is Hayden Taylor over gamesindustry.biz. Hayden writes, Bethesda Game Studios is under investigation by law firm Migalacio and Rathod. You got it? Yeah, how'd I do there? Andrea? Migalacio and Rathod.
Migalacio?
Okay.
Migalacio?
And Rathod. We're going to say.
Rathod
for its refund
right.
policy towards Fallout 76 consumers. According to the Washington, D.C. based firm, Bethesda is refusing to issue refunds to people who bought Fallout 76 and found it unplayable due to bugs and technical issues. Just 4 days ago, multiple users on Reddit claimed that they were able to get refunds out of Bethesda. However, since then, the developer has reportedly stopped issuing refunds. While Bethesda has been criticized in the past for releasing buggy games, Fallout 76 apparently goes beyond the pale and was hammered by critics for being consistently broken. The law firm's paralegal, Bruno Ortega Toledo, said, while minor bugs and glitches are expected with the release of most new games, Fallout 76 launched with a 56 gigabyte patch that has proven to be but a starting point for the game's problems. Gamers who have tried to receive a refund because of the game's myriad of glitches have been unable to do so since they downloaded the game, leaving them to deal with an unplayable experience until patches bring it back to a playable state. While the law firm is... I'm trying not to butcher the name every time, so then I'm saying law firm, but then they put firm in there. It's screwing me up, Andrea. While those guys is a firm that with experience in class action lawsuits around consumer rights, no formal action has been taken yet against Bethesda.
You did it. You made it.
It was a struggle there. I won't lie to you. Block wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, all. Fallout 76. I've played every Fallout, but this one just isn't for me. And... the many hilarious and annoying PC bugs. I asked for a refund and was denied the request. And now, with the news of Bethesda being investigated by a DC law firm for deceptive trade practices stemming from digital downloads and refunds, seeing as we are heading towards an all-digital future, do you think studios and e-stores should offer refunds for digital downloaded games? Back in the day, if I didn't like a game, I could return it in-store and get a refund. And those days are almost gone too for physical copies. But now, most policies are, the second I start the download, I have no choice. It bothers me these days that I have to listen to reviews before I buy a game, and sucks because most reviews on this one didn't come out until almost 5 days later.
This is the dangerous byproduct of going all digital, mm-hmm. right? Is that once you have the license, then you've bought the license and you can't return it.
Yeah.
And
Steam has a refund policy, right? If you've played less than 2 hours or something to that effect. Does that
I
sound
believe
right?
So. This sounds like a good thing for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yesterday I had it set up while we were live. And I was like, I kind of like that.
Would you like me to pull the dust bunny?
No, I'm the host. I can do it. I'll get the dust bunny off this thing.
It's all right. I got it. I got it right here.
But there are certain refund policies. Someone, please write it. One of you. Kebabs, I see you there. Capitalist Pig, you're always there. Feel free to write in and explain Steam's refund and then how it works, on PSN and stuff like that. But yes, in short, I do believe there should be a refund policy for an instance like this, right? Where mm-hmm. you get a game and you're like, oh, wow, this isn't what was promised to me. You should be able to refund it. I think there needs to be a window on it. But I also remember, and now I'm really drawing on old Greg memories, of there being a weird return policy at Electronics Boutique for me back in the day when I was buying games on cartridges and PlayStation 1 stuff, where I think it wasn't easy to get a refund, and I think maybe I only got store credit when I refunded. But this is all outdated information. I'm not sure what Target's refund policy is now and Walmart's refund policy is and GameStop's refund policy.
I think it varies store to store, but in general, most game stores require the game to be in the shrink wrap in order for you to be able to return it at full price. Obviously, like GameStop will gladly let you resell it back to them. And
sure, they'll love that.
And then they'll mark it up.
But I mean, there should be a way there, right? Even if it was that. So right now, first off, DJ Kento writes in and says to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Steam allows refunds if you're under 2 hours and the first 2 weeks of the purchase. I just did it for Darksiders 3. We won't even get into that. And Greg was right about that one, but no big deal.
And PlayStation and Xbox, their digital platforms can count how many hours you've played of the game. They should institute something very similar. Like if you've played 2 hours or less, like you should be able to refund it. I think 2 hours is a little short. Maybe 5 hours?
See, no, the problem is it's so hard to make such a clean cut rule, right? There's how many 5 hour games could you buy? There's games that are shorter than 5 hours. Get in and figure it out. And there does, and it is one of those
maybe
things.
Maybe it scales based off how expensive the game is.
Man, I would love that, but you know, there's no way they're going to put that much work
true.
Into it. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's fair.
They can't even make Hitman 2 have a platinum trophy. Nobody's watching. Oh. Nobody's watching anything over there as
okay.
usual. Where is Slide? Give me Slide. I want the easy platinum. It's a weird, complicated issue because there are people who would abuse the system and would be looking to do that and probably already do, where they buy something, play it for a little bit. Oh, man, it's not that the game is broken, the game isn't this. It's just that they didn't do the due diligence to look into even a trailer or a preview of it if it's actually something they'd want. And so I don't know what the answer is. I do think there should be policies like in place. And like what you're talking about, even if it was like, similar to a store credit or not giving you back your full amount, like because you've opened the game, there could be something like that for PlayStation, for Xbox, right? That, okay, we're going to adopt the Steam policy, but if it's 2 hours and you get into it, it's a complicated issue, it's taking up time for us, we're keeping $10, giving you back $50 of PSN credit.
Yeah, if they charge like a digital restocking fee, so to speak, of how they would have to take that code and like re-digitize it, I don't know if that's a thing that they do, probably not. I get that, making some kind of a penalty to discourage people from doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Like if you return something in a store, you have to give your ID and you have to sign a copy because they run your ID through a network, like a back, essentially like a little mini background check to see if you have a history of returning a lot of things. I know this because I used to work in retail a long time ago. I don't know if they do that specifically at electronic stores, but they certainly did it at clothing stores. So I don't know. I feel like they shouldn't be so hardline about refunding people when they know the game is broken. It's like, that's just, it's bad faith. DJ Kento says, pro tip, Costco will let you return nearly anything, including games, for full price even years later. My ex-girlfriend's mom returned a 5-year-old PC. Costco is wild with returns.
Wild.
Wild indeed. Even Lord of open Pwn. Games?
Lord of Pwn pops up with PSN stance, right? You can cancel a digital content purchase within 14 days of the date of transaction, provided that you have not started downloading or streaming it. Digital content that you have started downloading, streaming, and in-game consumables that have been delivered are not eligible for a return unless the content is faulty. So there'd be an argument to be made there, right?
Right.
MC Fixer follows up, too, with Microsoft's. It's a bit broken, but Microsoft's refund applies to games and apps for the Xbox One. You can't just get a refund for any purchase you make. There are a few requirements you have to meet. Games and apps are only eligible for a refund within 14 days of purchase, and only if you played for less than 2 hours across all accounts. So similar to Steam's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in short, I think there should be a refund policy, and I think the fact that PlayStation doesn't have one at all is kind of silly. Obviously, you get in. But I've seen this popping up on message boards. I think on Reset Era today, people were like, so I don't get it. Why would anyone buy a digital game if this is like what you're getting? And I think it's the growing pains as people try to figure out what this is all going
to
be.
It comes back to, do you want to own your games or are you cool with just licensing them temporarily?
Yeah.
Because that's what digital ownership is. Air quotes around ownership.
Speaking of ownership, Greg Way, number 4 on the Roper Report. PlayStation patents a game cartridge. This is Rachel England over at Engadget. Sony didn't see the success it had hoped for with the PlayStation Vita, but despite claims back in 2015 that there wouldn't be a sequel, the company announced earlier this year it wasn't ready to give up on portable gaming after all. Now, a new patent reveals what Sony might have in store for its next attempt at a handheld console. According to Tektastic, the patent filed in South Korea hints at an electronic game cartridge. No further details are given, but the design does suggest a connection at the bottom of the device that could be used to communicate with a console. This would certainly be in keeping with the gaming division John Codera's comments from May, where he noted that rather than separating portable gaming from consoles, it's necessary to continue thinking of portable gaming as one method to deliver more gaming experiences. It's possible then that the patent could be related to a future PlayStation console. Or it might not be amount to anything. As Tektastic notes, Sony filed a patent in 2017 for a device that looked a lot like the Nintendo Switch, but nothing further has come from that. So not all patents go on to become products. Still, it's clear that Sony's working on something. What that something will eventually become remains to be seen. What I find interesting about the cartridge is the jump to that it had to be portable. I think we've had conversations as we talk about what next gen could be and all this stuff, cost-saving devices, moving it around. The fact that physical media can hold so much now, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that the most expensive part of, and this is me now out on a ledge, for a lot of these things is the moving part of a disk drive. Like, why not just eliminate that all and just have it be USB-like cartridges, something to that effect where you're just plugging them in and going if that's that cheap. It'll be interesting to see. Another one of those many patents to throw out that PlayStation does, much like when they had that really cool DualShock that had the bulbs on it for PlayStation Move that you were going to be able to separate and use like PlayStation Move. Never happened, but that was a cool patent. That was a cool patent, Andrea.
Yes, Greg. It was cool. It was a cool
idea.
Patent.
It was a cool idea. Probably would have been a garbage controller, but man, I would like to have seen him try.
I don't think Sony is going to go back to portable.
No, I don't either. And I don't think they're going to do, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I would love if like, next generation, I'm playing Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, whatever, and I'm taking it on the go with me just like my Switch. That'd be amazing, but I don't think that's what they're getting ready to do.
If anything, they're going to put that R&D into how to make PSVR portable.
Good point. Yeah, get me to the V3, I guess, the PlayStation VR. Get it wireless.
Yeah.
Take it on a plane. Can you
imagine
having your DualShock in
your
hand.
Too much.
And it's just connected to the PSVR.
Yeah.
And then you play, because like, have you played at all with the Magic Leap?
No.
So maybe I'll bring it over so you can try it out.
Okay.
Have one?
Yes, I do.
Whoa.
They've loaned it to me. I don't own it. They're really expensive, turns out, Magic Leap.
Yeah, like $1,500
or something. The one that I have is like $2,300. Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. So it's on loan. I don't get to keep it. I have to send it back. But it's the headset. that's connected to this little, like, it looks like a Walkman, like a little disc.
Sure.
And then the you also have like a little controller, like a wireless controller. So you kind of clip the Walkman-esque like console thing onto your like belt loop or whatever, and it connects to the headset. And so you're wireless. It's charged by USB.
Okay.
And then you have the wireless handheld controller, and you essentially can move around anywhere with it.
And is it connected? It's connected to no PC, no nothing?
No. Connected to nothing.
Because what was the one we used that was wireless? HTC Vive wireless, Kevin?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's not out yet either.
Yeah, we were using that thing over there for the Amazon stream on Monday.
Does that mean it actually has a release date? Is it still in pre-order?
I thought it's the wireless like attachment for the HTC Vive. I believe it is for sale now.
It was the same thing where I had a Walkman clapped on me. I don't know anything about it other than that.
Yeah, well, the Walkman is just a battery.
Okay.
All the magic was happening in the little Y thing on your
head. Do you lean that far back and talk when you're this engaged?
They can hear me. I can hear it, Craig.
Okay. Yeah, but
Mr. Miller, I can hear it.
But you have bad hearing. You've said that before.
That's true. Yeah.
So you're saying I need to ask Tim for these details?
No, what? Kevin's the one who said it all.
No. Yeah. Why would you ask Tim?
I don't know. Because
dumb. Because
Tim, big dumb.
Dumb.
Trick those forward
but
people good, though.
But it would be really cool if there's like a Vita-like Sony device that worked with the cloud. So it would like... You buy an SIM card, and then all you got to do is connect it to your phone service, and then you can play games similar to the Google.
Like Project Stream?
Yeah. That would be really cool if that's what they did.
Well, technically, you could play Project Stream from your Vita if you're using the browser.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you can't right now.
No?
Well, yeah, but at the future.
Yeah,
the future.
In the future. Yeah, in the future.
Yeah.
Now it'll be Microsoft with their streaming service, and I'll be playing on everything.
But I feel like that's the next step. Like there's no way PlayStation doesn't see that also.
Oh, sure.
Right?
So, I can't wait to see what's next with streaming technology.
I'm so excited.
It's so cool. I was ranting and raving at my Sunday brunch with my friends
when
Post stumbled upon this, and it was like a 45-minute lecture from me about what's happening and how amazing it all is. Number five, final story on the Roper Report. Then we're going to do ads because, man, are we running long today. We got Red Dead multiplayer modes. This is via IGN. Red Dead Online includes five new game modes. Players can enter one of the showdowns series signposts for quick matchmaking into the modes. One of the new modes includes a battle royale without guns. Make It Count is their battle royale mode. This includes one of two game modes where players are only allowed to use a bow and a handful of arrows or throwing knives to be the last one standing. The player area will gradually shrink, causing more challenges and nowhere to hide.
I mean, a battle royale with throwing knives only?
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Shootout and team shootout. Classic gunfight modes where players have unlimited lives. Whoever has the most kills before the timer runs out wins. Sudden death will occur if there's a tie. Most wanted. A race to the top with every kill climbing you higher up the scoreboard. Whoever is closest to the top, the players who kill that person will receive more points. Hostile territory. A capture mode where teams try and hold the territory to control the land. Points will increase for every capture and the team with the most points will win. Teams can win immediately if they capture every single territory. And then name your weapon. A game with either a free-for-all or team-based match, more points will be awarded for different weapons as you rack up kills. I'm very excited to get home and try this.
Yeah. I have a play session scheduled with the What's Good team tonight.
Nice.
So we're going to test it out. I saw one of the streams I was watching. I think it was GameSpot's stream. They were talking about horse insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, so it'll come back that if your horse gets killed, you get it back or whatever?
I guess.
Huh.
I also I think I'm going to be really scarred if my horse is constantly being murdered.
Yeah, that would suck.
That's what I'm shooting for. I want to find you.
I'm not about that. Can I turn that off?
There's honor. There's XP. I can't wait to get home. Make a character. See what it's all about.
Yeah.
But, Andrea.
Yes.
Getting home is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like what games are out in the mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! The list today is brought to you by three sponsors. First, 23andMe. Now, through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you and your family in the story form. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry Service includes 90 personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do too. You simply spit into a tube provided to you by 23andMe. You register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you receive your personalized online reports. Andrea, I did it. I'm sure you heard this yesterday, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yes.
I am shockingly white. 52%, or 52.5% British and Irish, which is all the Irish. My mom's a Kennedy. And then 17.2% French and German, and so on and so forth. All very European.
I'm
I bet you didn't know this.
1/16th French, 1/16th Irish.
Oh, wee, wee. You know what I mean?
I don't know the exact percentages, though. I just did a family tree project back in school.
Oh, well, no, you gotta. This is way more in depth than that with you and your your cardboard cutouts, all right? Now through December 25th, you can get 30% off your 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. This would be a great thing to walk into the house with at Thanksgiving, or no, I guess Christmas dinner now. Give them all the tubes of spitting. We're going to find out, Mom and Dad. What have you been up to? Next up, it's Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep what you have, so do that with 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. How do we know this, Kevin?
Nick and Andy.
Right? That is right. Nick and Andy are using 4hims.com right now. They took photos of their hairline, talked to a doctor, sent it in online when they registered. Now they get well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions, and Nick continues to eat Andy's gummies and make Andy increasingly mad. You can order right now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. And finally, Quip is sponsoring us today. There's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year. It's something they'll use twice every day. It was featured on Oprah's O list, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth. The best intro to a holiday ad I've ever read.
Because guess who has mouths?
Everybody. And everyone? Who doesn't love buzzy things on their Christmas gift? This is it. It's Quip. It's an electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. Yeah, exactly. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. Quip makes holiday travels clean and easy with a multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger either. It runs for 3 months on one charge. It's the gift that keeps on refreshing, with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn out, ineffective bristles. This is a great idea. You need to, guess what? There are people in your lives right now who need Christmas gifts. Get them a cool toothbrush. Nick uses it over there. He stole it before I could. He loves it. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift, but it's got a stocking stuffer price. Start at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electronic toothbrush. But you don't have to tell your giftie that. That's right. Get your first refill pack free. GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, 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 quip. Brush your teeth. That's not their slogan, but it could be. Quip, 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 quip. Brush your teeth. Out today! 99 Vitas on Switch. Darksiders 3 on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Floor Kids on Xbox One. Red Dead Online Beta is starting to roll out today. We went through it yesterday. You understand. Spin Tires. Oof, I missed that one bad. Mud Runner, American Wilds is on Switch. And This War of Mine Complete Edition comes to Switch. New dates for you. The Lego Movie 2 video game will be available for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC in 2019 alongside the film. Skyworld, a new VR strategy game, is coming to PlayStation VR in early 2019. Kook and Sosig walk
Chook
the plank.
And Sosig?
Chook. Chook Hook. Yeah, I mean, Chook is like choose. Chook and Sosig walk the plank. 2019 release date on PC and Mac. Assassin's Creed Odyssey gets DLC called The Legacy of the First Blade Episode 1, and it drops next week on the 4th. And then Ben D wrote in about that. Ben D says, "Hey Greg, and whoever is co-hosting today, it's Andrea. I say it at the end of every show, who's next?
It's
just
me.
Stick through the end, guys." So the new trailer for the first Assassin's Creed Odyssey DLC was released today. What are your thoughts on devs releasing DLC close to launches like Spider-Man did as well? Could it have a negative effect later in the game's lifespan, or do you think it's a good way to get complete editions out sooner? Thanks for everything. Sorry I got stuck at work and couldn't go to that meet and greet. It's okay, Ben. Don't worry about it. I really dig DLC being this close to the game coming out.
I think it's fine. but it's hard to know how everybody feels, because I remember how angry people got with Insomniac releasing Spider-Man DLC, air quotes, too close to launch.
This is content that should have been in the game.
This is just a cash grab. And like, clearly they can't make that claim with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because that game is massive.
Yeah, right.
And I think Spider-Man has plenty of content in the box.
Agreed as well.
So I think it's great because it keeps people engaged in the game without letting them get distracted with something else and then trying to convince them to come back.
Yeah.
So it's either you got to make it really close to launch, or you got to make it really far from launch, kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn did with the Frozen Wilds.
But that's my problem, is when I think of DLC, then you didn't do it wrong, because that's a bad way to say it, but like, didn't click for me. It's Zelda and it's Horizon last year, where they put so much time between them, and it was, at first when I heard that, I was like, oh great, a reason to come back and play. But jumping back into Horizon in Frozen Wilds, there was no like, hey, here's the refresher. It was like, cool, run up there, and you're immediately getting attacked. I'm like, oh man, how do I play again? What am I doing?
Those enemies were no joke.
And in Zelda, like, I remember I was so into Zelda playing it and beating it, and then by the time the DLC came around, I was just like, do I really want to go? I had such a great time. I put so many hours into it, I want to go back. Whereas Assassin's Creed, as you said, being a gigantic game, right? I crossed 80 hours in it last night on my save file, and I've long since beaten all three of the storylines. And now I'm like, I'm going to work on the platinum. But then it also is, I see the new DLC dropping. I see the new storyline quest being added. This is happening next week. I expect to go get that. It's a game I haven't kicked in a weird way. It's not like, you know, a Destiny, it's a Fallout or something where I'm going on and playing with other people and there's always something like that happening. But it is that I still haven't, you know, explored every island on there. I still haven't gotten all the trophies. There's still so much for me to do in that world that I really feel when it dropped, so many people were like, oh man, it's the heir to the Witcher's throne. And I was like, don't get ahead of yourself. And now playing it, I'm like, man, maybe it is. It definitely is for me, because like Witcher, I fell out of. I didn't even got out of Act 1. I put like 30 hours in, but never left Act 1. Whereas this game, I feel so invested in, and I've done so much in, and I you know, I'm just changing my gear set and screwing around for fun. Like, I love this game, and I really do credit the fact that there's still stuff coming for it in the immediate future, that I'm not at any point going to stop playing it, even once I platinum it. Good on you and your fast DLC policies. Then Guac 2 gets DLC tomorrow. This is Guacamelee 2. Tomorrow gets the 3 Enemigos pack, like enemies. And then December 7th, the Proving Grounds challenge level drops as well. Deals of the day for you! PlayStation has announced a new PlayStation VR bundle. The PlayStation VR, Borderlands 2 VR, and Beat Saber bundle hits store shelves on December 14th across the U.S. and Canada for $350, U.S., $450 Canadian. Same day as the launch of Borderlands 2 VR. The bundle includes the VR system, the PlayStation camera, the Demo Disc 2.0, two PlayStation Move controllers, and then Borderlands 2 and Beat Saber digital game vouchers. Can't speak to Borderlands 2, of course. Haven't used it or played it yet, but goddamn do I love Beat Saber. Such shortlisted game of the year for me. Like, such a great game. Playing it every morning, Kev. Started using the modifiers in free play today. Hoo-wee! Hoo-wee! And then Xbox announced their Games with Gold for December. This is via Polygon. Andrea put it on there. Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
You'll be able to download Cube 2 all month long. And then from December 16th through January 15th, the free Xbox One title will be 2014's Never Alone, a puzzle platformer based on traditional folklore from the Alaskan indigenous people known as the Inupiat.
Inupiat?
You nailed it, bro. Thank you. The Xbox 360 backwards compatibility front is an interesting story in December. From December 1st through the 15th, the free game will be 2011's Dragon Age 2. And in the second half of the month, subscribers will be able to grab Mercenaries, Playground of Destruction. Polygon writes, yes, you read that correctly. Mercenaries, which was developed by the now defunct Pandemic Studios and published by the also defunct LucasArts in 2005 on the PlayStation 2 and Xbox, is one of the two backwards compatible games next month. It appears to be the first time that Microsoft has offered an original Xbox game in its Games with Gold lineup. Mercenaries has been downloadable on the Xbox Store via backwards compatibility since April. That's a mouthful. A lot of stuff today. What a day, Andrea. You know?
Surprisingly busy.
Let's get some reader mail
in
here.
Do
we have some good ones. So, you know. I'm going to skip. You want it?
I don't know, just do it.
Michael from England says, what's good, Andrea and Greg? Question mainly for Big Kev Dog.
Oh, me?
But obviously would like to hear both your opinions as well. With PUBG coming to PlayStation 4 in a couple of weeks, I was wondering, what should I play? PUBG or Blackout? I was well and truly hooked on Fortnite, but PUBG always had this mysterious allure of that big game I couldn't play yet. I'm looking to get that Battle Royale adrenaline rush again and wonder what you think would be your preference. Thanks for everything you guys do. Michael from England. Big Kev Dog. PUBG or Blackout? On PlayStation 4.
I don't know that I can answer this. I haven't played Blackout at all.
At all?
At all.
Oh, that's surprising.
And I really should.
You should, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that I need to play some Blackout before. I mean, I love PUBG, and I'm super excited for it to be on the PS4.
Are you going
to
play it on PlayStation 4?
I think that I am. Yeah. If I can get other, like, you know, my cats.
Squad up, yeah. Oh, Tom Bach, mm-hmm. Snowbike Mike, mm-hmm. get the old crew back together. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe Greg Miller, if he wants to.
I know I got left behind a long time ago, so I wasn't going to bring it up.
No, dude, you never played PUBG. Like, we never played PUBG together.
We did. You and I started, actually, PUBG playing together. And then I had to go somewhere for a weekend. I came back, and you were in love with Mike Howard and Tom Bach.
Mike Howard and Tom Bach are great.
All you did was how many times you could do motorcycle flips and stuff.
Dude, it was so much fun, because he would always just be like, hey, watch me, and then go off the roof. Ah, Snowbike Mike.
Andrew, you got anything to say?
Do you want me to leave you two alone for a little bit?
No, we'll have it when the camera's off. We'll have it out.
Time?
We need a therapist.
Michael, I would say if you're going to pick and you've not played either of them, they offer different things, right? I think that there's a more comprehensive first-person shooter experience in Blackout because the Call of Duty franchise is one of the best FPSs ever made.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking to have a lot of fun with your friends and have some wacky customization options and get into some really fun vehicles to drive, you know, PUBG's available too. It's also cost, right?
Yep.
Call of Duty is double the price that PUBG is, so...
Yeah, I think wait for it to drop on PlayStation 4, see how it runs, what's happening with it, reviews and such to that level, and maybe make a decision based on that. For me, you know, when Fortnite stepped in, I enjoyed Fortnite more than I enjoyed PUBG. So that was never like a real thing for me then to get, you know, playing over there. Yeah, Kevin.
For what he's talking about, like looking at Blackout, it just looks like Call of Duty. I don't know if he's going to get that heart pumping, like I'm sitting in a room quietly waiting for this guy to walk around the corner.
That happens.
I've got a shotgun.
I mean, I've had that experience in Blackout several times.
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, that's more of to the genre of Battle Royale, I think, than the game specific. You know what I mean? Because I remember back in the day when you're like, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in Fortnite. And then you saw the light.
No, I didn't. You saw the light. I never saw that it happened. I've never had that feeling.
That's because you suck and you're always dead before anything happens.
That's true.
Josh from Maryland writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I know the Kind of Funny Games showcase is right around the corner, December 8th, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 10 a.m. Pacific. But is Kind of Funny planning on doing a Game Awards live reactions? I loved hearing your predictions on the last two Gamescasts and would love to see what you have to say during the actual event. Josh from Maryland, of course we're reacting to Jeff Keighley's Game Awards next Thursday, a week from Thursday. You can catch it live. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It will be Tim Geddes, Andy Cortez reacting here. Andrea and Greg, we will be dressed to the nines and drunk at the Game Awards.
That's true.
If you're going to be at the Game Awards, come say hi to us because we will be in a talkative mood, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you wanted to, like, you know, do like a pre awards meetup of some kind.
Oh, with like people?
Yeah.
Like the audience?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm kidding around. Yeah, that sounds cool. I think it's just a tight schedule because I'm coming. I got this stupid showcase. So I'm coming in super. I'm coming in Thursday and then getting out Friday morning right away. And
never mind.
I'm sorry. Well, I asked you earlier if you want to get dinner.
I do.
All right, good. God. James gets the final question of today's Kind of Funny Games Daily and says, regarding what the Kingdom Hearts fan community is calling the Amazon Games fiasco, I am very interested to hear your perspective. Did you anticipate any of the anger from the fans towards the Kingdom Hearts 3 announcement planned for Cyber Monday deal stream? Do you know if there were ever plans for an actual new trailer? As a Kingdom Hearts fan, the way the situation was handled by Amazon Games made their marketing was both frustrating and confusing, but at the same time, I think Kingdom Hearts fans largely overreacted. Also, I just wanted to say thank you for two great streams and all the hard work you guys did.
Fans overreacting on the internet? What?
If you have no idea what's happening, we did that Black Friday, or we did the Cyber Monday stream yesterday for Amazon Games. We hosted it. We also hosted one on Friday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And so Black Friday beforehand, so basically Amazon contracts us to host these streams and to show off their products and do all these different things. Kingdom Hearts had sponsored the streams and was going to show a brand new Kingdom Hearts trailer yesterday during the Cyber Monday stream. Amazon put out an ambiguous tweet on Friday being like, they're about to do this thing, a Kingdom Hearts announcement, and everybody came over freaking like, oh my god, new Kingdom Hearts stuff, and the announcement was come back on Monday, which already pissed people off. Understandably
really
so.
Pissed them off.
Why on earth would you have expectations that they would do nothing like this? They've done it before.
Then
my famous guffaw from Judges Week when they did that hour-long presentation when they said we're going to announce the release date in June, I go, I had to laugh like out loud because it's so ridiculous. You're announcing that you're going to announce the release date?
Yeah.
Like, what? That's ridiculous.
So people felt that Amazon bait and switching them on a Friday. So, but still, begrudgingly, people showed up on Monday. Like, I want to see this trailer. 30 minutes before we go live, we get a call and it's Amazon being like, hey, Square did not give us the trailer. Like, the trailer didn't come together. It's not done. So there's no trailer. Why Amazon tweets that. But then we have to go live. We go live and host the stream as contracted to do so. And there's a trailer, an old trailer, and then a screenshot from the trailer that they were working on, but it didn't get done. And so to answer your first question, James, did you anticipate the anger? Oh yeah, oh yeah. We Tim came out and he's like, you guys are not. And we're like, oh my god, they're gonna be furious. He's like, yeah, not at us. We didn't have anything to do with it. We're just in there to host and talk and show off stuff. But like, oh my god, yeah, we were totally ready for people to be pissed.
They just released a new trailer like a week and a half ago.
And were there plans for a new trailer? There very much were. That screenshot is from that trailer they were working on, but they did not cross the finish line.
It's going to be at the Game Awards.
You assume so now, yeah, right? Which is weird. Whatever. Yeah, you assume that's where it'll end up now. So there you go, James. Thank you for the thing, though. Don't worry. No, so many people have tweeted me to be like, I'm so sorry for Kingdom Hearts fans. It's totally fine. They were fine in the chat. I understand the anger of being promised something and not getting it. They haven't taken it out on us. They understand we're just some chuckleheads talking into a camera, eating cereal out of a box dry like a horse. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, James needs help on the PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Obi-Wan Potato 27. All one word, Obi-Wan Potato 27. Looking for some best friends to play Red Dead Online with me and my other Twitter friends, reach out on PS4 or Twitter, he says, which is at very super Jameis. It's a rough one, and I'm not going to spell it out for you. So go Obi-Wan Potato 27. Andrew?
Yes, Greg?
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write in to your wrong. Kindoffunny.com/your wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. I know we blew it up. You got it too. We blew it up, of course, when we asked about what's going on with the return policies. Thank you all for being part of the show. There's some editorializing people want to argue with the No Man's Sky stuff. Something about Dragon Quest up there? I don't know.
No, that's Lord of Pwn. You know that's just an editorialization.
Yeah. You should know better, Lord of Pwn. Come on now. So you keep going down.
Let's
then.
Let's see here.
Then, see, I hate it when a you're wrong starts with not really a you're wrong. Then you're in the wrong fucking section, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Here's an actual one. Ear Gamer says Floor Kids is not just available on Xbox One. It is also available on PS4.
Thank you. That's a good one. Very good.
Ignacio Rojas says, new release, Minecraft Story Mode, episodes 1-3 are available on Netflix. Yes, Netflix. That is a first, I believe.
Yeah.
For Netflix to have an interactive piece of entertainment on their platform.
And that's it. Then it's more editorializing bullshitting around. Don't come in here acting like it's your chat. You got your own chat. You're watching live. It's over there. Bullshit around over there. Over there. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow's host is me and Gary Whitta, who I have not pinged to remind him. You had to ping me. This showcase killing me. Thursday, it's Tim. Friday, it's Andrea. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.